clear stand than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's red sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's red sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
Thank you so much for that good special song, a beautiful song with a great message. I'd rather have Jesus. You have your Bible open to Mark chapter number 6, and I want to talk to you a little bit about out of this chapter. I told you this morning that if the Lord be willing, we'd give a little background on the message from this morning, how that transpired, how that the Lord Jesus, when John and his disciples had decided to send to him and ask him that all-important question, kind of stems from this account here, and there's some things we can learn from this. I want to give you the story itself, and then we'll make some application. This is kind of one of those messages where you have to kind of know the story, and then you can pull some application. You know, preaching is really about applying the truth of the Scripture to your life. That's, you know, there's interpretation, and I want to give you the interpretation. Then I want to give you the application. Now, I've heard a lot of preaching that was just interpretation. And I like for application of the Scripture to be made. Actually, I'm going to show you how that really, that's what preaching, the way God intended it to be, that's what it is. It's more than just information. Preaching is not just information. Preaching is given so that there could be application made. In other words, I need to make a decision based on what I've heard moving forward. You see, when you hear Bible preaching, you really shouldn't leave the way you came. There's more to Bible preaching than sitting and listening and knowing more. It should bring change in our lives. And that's what John the Baptist. When John the Baptist preached, I want to show you a couple things before we get into this, okay? See, there was a day, and I want you to listen to me now. There was a day on this point. I know you'll listen to me, but I want you to hear this. Because I just know this is where we are in our society today. A lot of preaching has become just passing on information. And you know what? In one aspect, that's good. That's what preaching is. But there was a time when preaching brought people to decision. Hey, you need to do something about what you've heard. It's not enough just to come and say, "I agree, preacher." Hey, that's not enough. Or, "I enjoyed that preaching." Or, "I like that." Well, you know what? That, all that's fine and well, but it has to go beyond that. It has to go beyond that. Preaching, Bible preaching, brings us to a decision. It brings us to a place where, okay, now what am I going to do with that? I've heard truth from the Bible. It has confronted me. What am I going to do? What action am I going to take? Now, let me show you a couple of times in the Scripture. We could go on and on, but I just want to show you a few from different ones to show you that it's not just one person. All Bible preaching leads to this. Take your Bible and turn, if you would, and we'll look at John the Baptist first. Okay, Luke chapter 3. So just turn a few pages forward to Luke chapter 3. John the Baptist is preaching. And when John the Baptist gets through preaching, the people say, okay, we need to make a decision. That's exactly what, I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but you'll see what they're saying is, now what do we do? We've heard this. What should we do? Luke chapter 3, John the Baptist is preaching. When he gets through preaching, and I mean he is preaching, he is laying the axe to the root. And he said in verse number 9, "The axe is laid into the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." Now watch this. "And the people ask him, saying, what shall we do then?" What action should we take? See, preaching brings you there. Preaching brings me there. This is what preaching does. Effective, biblical preaching asks the question, now what? It's not enough just to leave and say, well, you know, that was good, right? It's not just enough. But we've come there to where we come and we sit and we listen and we like. And, you know, if we had a Facebook, we'd push the like button. You know, some people push that button. It's got that scowl on it, that mean face, you know, that gets red. preaching says you've got to do something. See, truth always demands an action. Truth demands an action. It wasn't just John. Okay, notice if you would, the Lord Jesus. You can turn to Matthew chapter 7. This is one of the greatest messages, if not the greatest, that's ever been preached. In Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, but I want you to turn to chapter 7. The Lord Jesus Christ is finishing up his Sermon on the Mount. And he's winding it down. And now he's saying, you've got to make a choice. Is it going to be the broad way or the narrow way? Only two ways, right? And you've got to take an action. You just don't listen to this and then leave. You have to make a decision. What are you going to do? So in Matthew chapter 7, the Lord says in verse number 13, "Enter ye." Here's a decision that you need to make. You need to enter ye into and at the straight gate. He said, "Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat." So he said, you know what? There's only two ways, and you need to make the decision, and the choice is yours. You get to decide, but I'm telling you where you need to enter in at. Turn, if you would, to Acts chapter number 3, and this is a very familiar, what you might call invitation. At the end of the Apostle Peter preaching the day of Pentecost, The scripture says that when he got through preaching, that here this was what was said in Acts chapter number 37, chapter 2, verse 37. This is what the scripture says. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. See, that's what Bible preaching does. Bible preaching, the Holy Spirit of God moves when the Bible's being preached, because it is the Word of God. And so the Bible says, now when they heard this, in other words, if you'll read before this, you'll see where Peter stood on the day of Pentecost and he began to preach the Word of God. And when he finished the message, when he completed his sermon on this day, the Bible says in verse 37, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, now watch it now, here it is, men and brethren, what shall we do? See, a decision. We need to do something. We don't need to just go on business as usual. We've heard some things. We've heard some truth. We've been confronted. And now we need to take some action. And I want you to learn, and I want to learn, and God help us in this day in which we live, a just kind of relaxed, laid back Christianity, where you just kind of come as you are and leave as you came. God help us to get in the mindset. I want to listen to revealed truth, and I want that truth to impact my life to the place where I want to be brought to a decision, to an action in my life. The action and the decision may be just to continue on doing what you're doing. I'm not saying that there should always be repentance. Maybe what God has spoke to you about is, hey, just keep doing what you're doing. That's a great thing. Make that commitment in your heart. Make that decision. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing by the grace of God and with the help of God. Let me give you one more. And of course, this one you're very familiar with, Acts 16. When Paul and Silas were in prison, the Bible says that they sang and they prayed. And something just tells me that you didn't get around Paul much without him preaching. Amen. Paul was a preacher. And Paul was preaching and they were singing. And no doubt Paul had given the gospel. And you know what this man said? He in verse number 30, they brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? In other words, what must I do? See, the Word of God, the preaching, it brings people to this place. Now, we go back to Mark in chapter number 6, and we see where John the Baptist, as a preacher, had been preaching, and it got the attention of King Herod. Now, King Herod, and this is kind of surprising, he liked John. He liked John. Now, I've had some people in my ministry of 30 years who liked me. Now, they didn't like what I preached. They didn't. They wouldn't. They rarely, if ever, come to hear me preach. But they liked me as a person. They knew what I was preaching was the truth. Perhaps you know someone like that. Well, see, this is the way Herod was. Now, let's look at this account here in the Scripture. Mark chapter number 6, the Bible says in verse 17, Herod had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. So here was an inappropriate relationship. Here's an adulterous relationship. Okay? And the Scripture says that John confronted them, and Herodias didn't like it. The Bible doesn't say that Herod didn't like it, but I don't think he liked it that much. But I think Herod knew, you know what? He's right. He's right. I'm not going to do what he said, but he's right. You know, there's a lot of people that way. They hear the truth preached and say, you know what? That man's right there. Now, I'm not going to do that, but what he's saying is right. Perhaps you're sitting here and you've heard someone preach at some point in your life, and the whole time they were preaching, you're saying, you know what? That's right. Have no intention on doing it, but that's right. I can't rebuttal it. I can't say that it's not so. It's so. Now, truth has a profound impact on our lives. Let me just make this statement, and I'm going to come back to this in the close of this message. Once we hear truth, you can never get away from it. And I'm going to say that again. Once we hear the truth, nothing else will do, brethren. Nothing else will do. You know, I've known people, and perhaps you have too, that have sit under Bible preaching, the truth, and they try to go to these watered-down legacies or your Greg Locks of the world, you know, where just anything goes and they water it down. Listen, that will not do. Hear me out now. That will not do. You rock and roll churches, you're sitting on a stool, you laid back, no Bible preaching, just little essays. That's not going to do. Once you have been exposed to Bible preaching, nothing else is going to do. Music will not replace preaching. Now, I thank God for good music, don't you? I thank God for good music, but I'm going to tell you something. God did not choose the foolishness of music. God has chosen preaching. Preaching is what's going to reach the soul of man. And so here is John, and he had preached, and he told him, hey, look, what you're doing is unlawful. Look at verse 18. For John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Now, I'm going to tell you, that's a backbone right there. You'd have to know a little something about Herod. Okay, the man was crazy. Okay? And he was power hungry. And some of the things that you read in history about what this man would do to people who tried to stand against him, but John didn't allow that to bother him. He stood right up and he said, hey, what? You know what? You're wrong. What you're doing is breaking a commandment of God. It's immoral. It's immoral. Now, the Bible says in verse number 19, therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him. Now, I want you to notice the way it's worded there. Herod knew, this man's right. I'm not going to do it. I'm the king. He's not going to tell me how to live. But what he is saying is so. Now, Herodias, she didn't like it. She didn't like it. And she said, as she had one goal in life, I'm going to get that guy. He is not going to show me up like that. He's not going to call me out like that. I'm coming after you, John. Coming after you. So the Bible says here that Herodias had a quarrel against him and would have killed him, but she could not. Now watch this very carefully. I find this very interesting. Here is a pagan, listen, here's a pagan king, a heathen. And the Bible says right here that he became almost like a friend to John. He protected him against his own wife. Herod protected John against Herodias. Look at the wording here. The Bible says, John said to Herod in verse 18, it's not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Herodias had a quarrel against him, and she would have killed him. Which means that there was probably a plot, or maybe even she had set some things into motion. But the Bible says Herod intervened. I want to show you a few words here. Look if you would in verse number 20. For Herod feared John. Isn't that interesting? That word fear, of course, it's the same word that when the Bible says we ought to fear God, it has a reference to being reverent, reverential. He revered John. He said, you know what, that's a good man right there. And what he's saying is so. I believe there's a lot of people like that. There may even be people that attend church here that way. Not saved? I don't know. I don't know people's hearts. Not saved? Want to hear the preaching? There's something about preaching that just draws them. And they think, you know what? The man's telling the truth. Those people down there at the Fellowship Baptist Church, good, solid people. And what they're doing, I believe it's so. I believe they're doing what is right. I believe they're trying to honor God with their life. And yet, they won't get involved. Now, that's Herod's position. Standing back and commending the church, if you would, the preacher, if you will, okay? And he's saying, he feared John in verse number 20. He feared John. Watch this statement. What a testimony. He feared John, knowing that he was a just man and unholy. That's great testimony. So here's a man that has entered into an adulterous, inappropriate relationship, and the preacher tells him, hey, you're wrong. That's sinful. God judges sin. And his wife didn't like it, right? She said, I'll get you for that. And he said, no. He said, you leave that man alone. Now, he had to do something. Sometimes men make these kind of unnecessary compromises. Well, you know, we got to do something. Got to keep Mama happy. Well, if Mama's right, then God bless her. But now, if Mama's telling you to do something that's against the Scripture, you just take your stand. Amen. Wake up, men. I said, amen. Same with you ladies. Listen, stick with this book right here. Now, Herod gave in. And I'm going to draw an application from that here in just a moment. But notice, if you would here, it says that she would have killed him, but she could not. Verse 20 says, for Herod feared John. He had a reverence for him. He knew there's something about that man that's different. Can I tell you, there is something different about a Bible preacher. Amen. I thank God for men that will preach the Bible. Amen. I'm talking about preach the Word of God. Our country needs Bible preaching more than it ever has. I just believe that's the answer, brethren. I just believe it's the answer. And the Scripture says that he knew, knowing, verse 20, that he was a just man and unholy. That John's a good man. That John walks with God. That John has got something going on. He's got something in his life. I'm not really sure Herod, no doubt, was thinking, but there's something about that John the Baptist. The Baptist, he's something else. I want you to notice this next little word here in verse number 20, and it says, and observed him. You see that word? You ought to go home and look it up. It's a very interesting word. It actually is a word that means that he watched him to protect him. Isn't that something? The king. The king, this heathen king who had been rebuked by this preacher and told the relationship that you are in is wrong. And even put him into prison, and we're going to get to that in a minute. Why would you do that, Herod? You're the king. You don't have to make a show for anybody. But this shows you how powerful influence is. There are people already in hell. There are people on their way there, and there are people that will go there because of what I'm going to teach you right here out of this section of Scripture. They are so afraid. There may be somebody here tonight. You're so afraid what somebody's going to think of you if you sell out for Jesus. If you go all in for God, you're so afraid what someone's going to say. They might laugh at me. They might make fun of me. They may call me a preacher boy. They may call me little Miss Goody Two-Shoes. Who knows what you're thinking in your mind if you just go all in for God. And that's exactly what happened to the king, King Herod. He had within his power, didn't have to put John into prison. Didn't have to. As a matter of fact, the Bible says even when he put him into prison, he called on him constantly. Either he called him to his quarters or he went and seen him in secret. Oh, Herod had it bad. Now, I don't know. Maybe he thought Herodias would ask for his head. You know, maybe he was one of them guys. Right? But notice what the Bible says here in verse number 20. The latter part of it says, and when he heard him, this is the guy who told him, you know what? You're an adulterer. She's an adulteress. It's wrong for y'all to be together. And yet he heard him. Bring John to me. I want to hear some Bible preaching. Hey, amen. I want to hear some more of that rough Bible preaching. I want him to tell me I'm an adulterer again. Right? Hey, it's what the Bible says, brethren. He heard him. And he not only heard him, notice what the Bible says in verse number 20. And when he heard him, he did many things. Isn't that interesting? Oh, Herod, you know, he didn't want Herodias to know. John was getting to him. The Bible doesn't say, and I'm not going to ask you to believe this, but somehow in my mind, I believe that, oh, Herod would sneak off down to the prison sometimes. John, come here. What's the message today? Well, the message hasn't changed, Herod. You're still an adulterer. Right? You got that situation taken care of? No, I haven't got it taken care of, you know. The old lady, she's rough, John. She wants your head, you know. Right? That's all right. That doesn't change anything, King Herod. she's still an adulteress. Well, I tell you, that takes something, doesn't it? It takes something. Maybe at some point, I don't know, the Bible doesn't say, maybe, and this does happen now, maybe Harry said, I tell you what, John, we're going to work out a little deal. We're going to get you out of here. Man, think of the good you could be doing out there. John, I believe in what you're doing. Why don't you just back off a little bit? Well, if you would just tone it down a little bit and just back up a little, change a few things, man, you could preach to thousands. Huh? How many of you heard that story before? Right? Just tone it down. Cut a few corners. You know, don't mention the A word. Gets people a little anxious, you know. Don't say anything about the little three-letter, you know, S word. Just, you know. The Bible says that when he heard him in verse number 20, he did many things. You know, when you look at that phrase, it means that he was back and forth. Okay? You go down to John, you're right, John, you're right. This is it. I'm telling her, we're done. We're through. I sending you back to Philip. This is not right. And then he'd go back to Herodias, and she would say, John, he's a quack. He's a nut. I know you don't believe him. Why you get religion now? You getting all religious on me? What are you, holier than thou? You know. Yeah, you're right. Then he'd turn again. Many things. You know, people live like this. Back and forth. You hear the truth. You say, you know what? I want to do right. And then you get with that crowd that's always running down the church and the preacher and doubting and questioning the Bible and mocking and making light of Christianity. Then you say, well, you know, maybe I am taking it a little too serious, you know. Yeah, just maybe I just enjoy life. Enjoy life a little bit. That's what's going on here. Herod, back and forth. The Bible says in verse number 20 that he feared John. He knew he was a just man. He knew he was a holy man. He observed him. He watched him close because he knew if I turn my back, he's a goner. And I like John. John's good for me. Can I tell you, a Bible preacher's good for you, brother? Now you listen to me. There's been people that have told me straight out, and you've known people to tell other Bible preachers this, I won't be back. I don't like your style of preaching. What they're saying is, I don't like the Bible preached. We need it watered down to fit our lifestyle. It's never going to happen as long as I'm the pastor of this church by the grace of God. I just want to give it. Listen, I believe the Bible is a wonderful message. I don't think nothing in it needs to be changed. Amen? Just needs to be preached. Now, I've probably hurt some people by not doing it out of the right kind of spirit. I don't want to do that, but I'm human. Perhaps you have heard somebody preach the truth, but they didn't do it in love. They did it in a foul spirit. But the Bible preached in a compassionate spirit is the best thing for a man. Amen? We need Bible preaching. Herod knew, I need this Bible preaching. I want you to watch this last phrase here in verse number 20, and then we'll kind of bring this down to a close. Look what he said here. It says, he did many things and heard him gladly. Isn't that something? You know, when I think of Herod, I just don't think of Herod liking Bible preaching. I just don't. I mean, when you read that, some of the history of this guy, I mean, this guy was really, I mean, he was a violent person. All right? And some people believe that he was even, I mean, you know, crazy. He'd done some crazy stuff. And you see here that he essentially took his brother's wife. I mean, you know, that's not the best of guys. He was a power-hungry somebody, but there was something about the Baptist, John the Baptist, preaching the truth. It just appealed to him. And the Bible says that when he heard him, in the latter part of verse number 20, it says that he heard him gladly. Bring John in. Or he would slip down. He just wanted, there's something about Bible preaching, brethren. I tell you, it connects with me. I believe it does with all men. I do. You can't get away from it. And I'll show you in a moment. the truth now. I'll never forget the first time I heard Bible truth preached. I'll never forget it. Once you get a dosage of Bible preaching now, Bible preaching, nothing else to do. These little cheap substitutes, oh my, it just won't do. Where some guy gets up and gives you a little 10-minute little sermonette and just tells stories and jokes and then closes in a word of prayer. And we need some Bible preaching. Just open up and, you know, line upon line, explain the Bible to us. Tell us what God said. Amen? Well, the Bible says in verse number 21, when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords, his captains, and his chief estate of Galilee. And when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him. Now, you think that this was a plan here? You think that maybe this plan was concocted? I think so. And the Bible says that when the damsel danced before the king, by the way, you stay away from dancing people. Especially if you're a Baptist preacher. Amen. This one lost his head because of it. But you stay away from that stuff. Ah, oh, praise, there's nothing wrong with a little dancing. Well, I like what one old timer said. Dancing foot and a praying knee don't grow on the same leg. Amen. You stay away from that. Stay away from honky-tonks, joints, taverns, dives. Hey, preacher, nothing wrong with that stuff. Plenty wrong with it. Plenty wrong with it. Hey, preacher, that's what they used to preach back in the 40s. It was wrong then, it's wrong now. Amen. Yeah. All that stuff. I'm not going to start preaching that stuff every week. There's too much in this book to preach. But listen, that doesn't mean I don't take a stand. That stuff is wrong. It's wrong. So what if I want to, kind of hug up my wife? Well, you and your wife, get a room. Don't go to a tavern somewhere. Amen. Somebody else's wife. That's not the way that God wants it done. Just 100% sure of that. Environment is not good. So the Bible says that the daughter of the said Herodias in verse 22 came in and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him. And the king said unto the damsel, ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I'll give it thee. Now be careful. Be careful now. See, you get in the wrong environment, you loosen up a little bit. Now all of a sudden a man that's been observing John the Baptist, been protecting John the Baptist, maybe gets a little drink in him. I don't know. Maybe, the environment, and here this damsel is the Bible, the history says it's Salome, I don't know, Herodias' daughter, and she gets in, gyrating around, and now all of a sudden, getting into a place. Now what are you going to do for me? I'll give you anything to the half of my kingdom. Right? Yeah. That's exactly what happens. And so the Bible says, he asked of me what thou wilt, and I will give it thee. And he sware unto her. The Bible says, whatsoever thou shalt ask me, I will give it unto thee, unto the half of my kingdom. And she went forth and asked her mother, what shall I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. You get in wrong environments. Listen, you can't get in the wrong environment with the wrong people and expect to do the right thing. Now listen to me. I've been teaching this for years. And you've got to get this. And this is for everyone, but particularly young people. Listen to me. Don't think, well, now I'll be different. No, you won't. No, you won't. No, you won't. The last one that went down was saying that as they were going down. Well, it'll be different with me. I understand, and I'm on a different level, or I've got a different mindset, or I've got a different plan. Well, see, it's not about your plan. The enemy has a plan. And so here it is. What are you going to give me? I want the head of John the Baptist. And the scripture says that she came straightway in with haste unto the king and asked, saying, I will that thou give me by and by in the charge of the head of John the Baptist. King then gave his word now. And look at verse 26. The king was exceeding sorry. See, that's what sin does to you. That's what bad environment, bad influences, bad decisions always leave you in this state. Always. Exceeding sorry. The Bible says the king was exceeding sorry. Didn't want to do it. Now here's an application. Okay? So some of this crowd backs you in a corner. Well, you know, you said you'd never be one of those fundamentalists. You'd never be one of them Bible thumpers. You'd never be one of them independent Baptists. You'd never be committed to church and a Bible carrier, Bible toting, Bible quoting scripture. Well, yeah, I didn't know what I was talking about then. Things are different now. Well, preacher, I got to keep my word. Not if it's wrong, you don't. Amen. See, here's Herod's problem. Notice, for his oath's sake. Look what scripture says here in verse number 26. The king was exceeding sorrow, yet for his oath's sake. Well, I didn't say I'd do it now, preacher. I got to do it. Not if it's wrong, you don't. Amen. Amen. Well, I done made a promise, and I done told them, and I was going to go down that old back road, and I was going to drink smoke a little bit with them. Hey, not if it's wrong, you don't. Stay away from it. Well, I made a bet with them at work, and I told them I was going to do this and do that, and I got to keep my word now, preacher. Not if it's wrong, you don't. Just tell them I've thought better of it, and I'm not going to do it. Well, you said you would. What about your oath? Well, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to skip out on my oath this time. I'm not going to do it by the grace of God. Don't be ashamed to look a man in the face and tell him, I've changed my mind. Better yet, God changed my heart. I'm not going to do it by the grace of God. The king was exceeding sorry, yet for his oath's sake. I told him I was going to do it, and I am the king. I'm the king. They're watching. If I change my mind, you know, well, hey, sometimes you have to change your mind. Sometimes you got to look folks in the face and say, I'm not going to do that. But that's not all that was on his mind. Look, if you would, in verse number 26. Yet for his oath's sake and for the sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. Those people sitting by, jeering him on. Ah, come on. Right? He put himself in a bad environment. He surrounded himself with wrong people. And now he feels compelled to do the wrong thing, to act against his conscience. He was sorry. He knew, I don't need to do this. But he felt like he'd got himself in too deep. I've got to do this. Listen, young people, don't you let people pressure you into doing something that you don't want to do. Well, you said you was going to take a little tote. You said you was going to take a little sip. You said you was going to take a little peek. You're not checking it out, are you? Yeah, I am. Something like that. Amen. Checking it out, whatever. Amen. There's nothing wrong with you backing out and saying, I'm not going to do that. And I'm going to tell you, now listen to me, young folks, listen to me. It's going to happen more than once if you do the right thing. If you make a decision in your life to do the right thing, you're going to have to quote unquote chicken out more than once. You're going to have to back down and say, I'm not going to do it. Well, you said you would throw your rod. You said you would beat him up. You said you would bully that child. Hey, if it's wrong, don't do it. Amen. Don't do it. Think better of it. Let God speak to your heart. Listen to the preaching of the Word of God, the teaching of your Sunday school teacher, and just decide in your heart, as we sang before I stepped up here, I have decided to follow Jesus, and I'm going to go with God. Going to go with God on this. And if you can't be my friend anymore, then I guess we just can't be friends. Amen. Now, king, here's a king. Got himself in trouble, brethren. Got himself in some serious trouble. And the scripture says in verse number 27, he would, latter part of verse 26, said he would not reject her. I don't know that there's any more sadder words in the life and history of Herod than those words. Can I tell you, he sealed his doom. He shut out the source of truth that God had put in his life. He turned away the man that God put in the pathway of his life that could have changed his eternity. And he shut that voice out, and it cost him dearly. Don't you do that now. It can happen. The scripture says in verse 27, immediately the king sent an executioner, and you know the story how that, well, John the Baptist there in prison, that same prison that we talked about this morning that he was in when he sent his two disciples to Jesus. So there's some great applications from this. Be careful who you spend your time with. When you listen to truth, act on it. Don't just hear the preaching gladly. Let it speak to you. Let it bring you to a point of decision, of action, of change. Act on what you hear. It's easy to get into a rut of just sitting and taking in and just being moved but not changed. Act on it. You say, well, preacher, there's times that I leave here and I mean it that I'm going to change, but then somehow I don't. You know what? We've all done that. We've all done that. So don't beat yourself up. Look, we have to be hard on ourselves, but don't beat yourself to death. We've all done that. That doesn't make it right. I'm just telling you, that's common. Bible preaching brings you to a decision. You say, by the grace of God, I'm going to do this, and then the enemy wins. But that doesn't mean he has to win the war. Maybe he just won that battle. You keep fighting. Amen? You keep praying. You keep reading. You keep pressing. And don't let the enemy get you in that area. He may have won that round, but there's more rounds to follow. Amen? Don't give up. Now, here's what I want to close with. Go back. Remember I told you he heard the truth? The truth changed him. He couldn't get away from it. So now, see, all of what I just preached to you was kind of parenthetical. It's saying, hey, this is how we got to where we are because Herod's losing his mind now. The Bible says in verse number 14, King Herod heard of him, meaning Jesus now. Mark chapter 6 verse 14, look at it. When King Herod heard of him, for his name was spread abroad, he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead. He said, oh, he's coming after me. I believe old King Herod seen that the head of John the Baptist in the charger every time he shut his eyes. I believe every time. I don't believe he ever slept a good night since he had done what he had done. His conscience so damned him. Listen, he could not even close his eyes without seeing John the Baptist's head. That man preached the truth. That man told me the right way, and I shut him out. Now here, Jesus is going about doing good, and he said, oh my goodness, in verse number 14, look, he said when he heard of him, meaning Jesus, that his name was spread abroad, he said, it's John, he's risen from the dead. Look at verse number 15. Others said that it is Elias, and others said, well, it's a prophet or one of the prophets, but not Herod. When Herod heard thereof, he said, no, it's John, whom I beheaded. He is risen from the dead. It's John. I just know it is. It's John. But it drove him crazy. It's John, isn't it? It's John. No, it's not John. It's Jesus. No, it's John. I know it is. It's John. I should have never done that. You know, I've met people in my life, and they didn't cut anybody's head off that I know of. But they made similar decisions like this. They made action against their better knowledge in their conscience, and they still talk about it today. Today. I mean, they did it years ago, and they're still talking about it. Man, it just sticks with you. So be careful. All right? When you come to church, pray and ask God to clear your mind. Thank God for these young men and young ladies bring their Bible and sit up front, or no matter where you sit, you sit and you got your Bible and you have it open, follow the preacher. Let Bible truth impact your life. Listen when the preacher is preaching. When your Sunday school teacher is teaching, listen when your Sunday school teacher is teaching. It's important. Surround yourself with the right people. People try to get you to do wrong, you get away from them. You get away from people that's always trying to get you to do the wrong thing. Hey, come here. Let's throw a rock at that car. I don't think me and you's going to be able to hang out. I don't want to be around rock throwers. Amen. somebody trying to get you to make fun of somebody and to bully somebody, you stay away from that person. They're not your friend. They're not your friend. Hey, come on, let's go pick on old so-and-so. You stay away from that person. You're going to end up like Herod one day, regretting many actions that you've taken in life and not being able to sleep at night, not even be able to live life with clarity because of poor decisions that you've made and people that you've wronged. Don't do it. It's not worth it. All right? So here's some application from this. Listen to the preaching that God puts to you. Be thankful for Bible teaching and preaching. Let it bring you to a place of decision. Act on it. Don't just hear it gladly and say, you know what? I enjoyed that. Well, that's good. Or I agree. Can't say I don't agree with that. Well, that's fine. But now what are we going to do about it? Right? And then surround yourself with the right people. Let's all stand. So here's a story of old Herod. Quite a character. God put him in a place to where he come face to face with probably the most powerful preacher of his time prior to Jesus coming on the scene.